search for a fountain. The promise is forever young. You know, some people need 3 dozen roses, and that's the only way to prove you love them. Hand me the world on a silver platter, and what good would it be? With no one to share, with no one who truly cares for me. Some people want it all, but I don't want nothing at all. If it ain't you, baby, if I ain't got.
Carpet dirty with those big ass feet.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Freeform Radio. Let's pause us about a few seconds for station identification and promotion. You're listening to Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Freeform Radio.
WMFO Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Media is dying. Corporate conglomeration is putting fewer voices on the air, set to serve the masses in the most profitable way possible. Automation has taken the human soul out of music and turned radio into a commodity. But there is hope. We are WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and we are committed to bringing you live radio from real people. We're not here to make money. We're here to make awesome radio. You'll hear every genre, time period, and political slant on our airwaves. If it's good, we'll play it. If you think that's worth supporting, drop us a small tip at donate.wmfo.org, and we'll send you some unique station swag. That's donate.wmfo.org.
Thank you for the PSAs. This is the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Real quick, just want to give you a highlight, or rather an update, on what's going on with the Pats. For those that are listening, and much appreciation goes out to you, the listener. The Patriots have taken the lead over the Bills early in the second quarter. They're now leading 7-3. 14:02 remaining in the second quarter. But now, without further ado, it's time to reflect. We're going to spend the final hour of this show in 2019 reflecting on what has been an incredible decade in Boston sports. And it's only befitting that we have the opportunity to do this now, considering that I won't be on the air next Saturday. I'll be off on vacation, much needed vacation. Look forward to spending time with my family and the people that I love most. So I won't be in next Saturday. So I thought today would be the most appropriate and opportune time to reflect on what has been an absolutely astounding 10 years of sports dominance by the teams here in Boston and New England. Now, I want to start off by saying this. However way you may look at the teams in Boston as a whole, or your hatred limits itself only to the Patriots or the Red Sox or whatever the case may be, do yourself and I a favor for the next hour, if not a shade under an hour, and try to hear me out as I bring up certain topics of discussion and so forth. Now, what's going to make this so much fun for the next hour is there are so many ways and avenues I could sit here and talk about and pick one. But you know what? I'm going to start with one. I'm going to start with one right here, right now. What's the first that I'm going to talk about? First thing. One of the moments that stands out to me is when I first relocated to Boston. For those that don't know my story, I'm originally from New York, born and raised. I relocated here to Boston just approaching 3 years ago now. And one of the things that I've grown to absolutely adore and respect about Boston, especially the sports scene, is the way how passionate the fans are and the respect that I have for the Boston fan base. Now, for those that are thinking to themselves, wait a minute, this guy's from New York. Isn't it a bit sacrilegious to, you know, like or respect Boston teams? Frankly, no. Don't think it is. Could care less. But what I'm about to talk about goes beyond the realm of sports. And this one deserves a little bit more time than everything else that I will touch on that happened during this past decade in Boston. There was a moment that took place in April of 2013 that really captured my attention. The Boston Marathon bombing took place on April 15th of 2013. The Bruins were the first pro team to play a home game 2 days after the terror attacks in Boston. And there was a moment that took place inside the Garden that night that still sends me chills. Although I hadn't moved here to Boston just yet, but watching from afar how this city responded, I couldn't help but feel a great deal of respect towards the people of Boston. And more importantly, towards everyone that works here and lives here. Now, this moment is something that's going to play back a lot of memories for Bruins fans and even Bostonians. But you may remember Rene Rancourt. Rene Rancourt did something prior to the start of the Bruins game against the Sabres on April 17th. This was 2 days after the Boston Marathon bombing. as one of the great moments of this decade in Boston sports. Had nothing to do with a championship, but it has everything to do with the solidarity that this city showed that night. Without further ado, I'm going to play the clip. This is courtesy of the NBC, the NBCSN broadcast of the Sabres and the Bruins. Rene Rancourt at the Garden, April 17th, 2013. I hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join together and sing loudly with Rene Rancourt as he performs tonight's national anthem. Representing all of Boston's first responders, please welcome the Boston Fire Department Honor Guard to present tonight's colors.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud
was Rene Rancourt playing, actually not playing, but performing the U.S. National Anthem, in which that he stopped in the entire crowd at the Garden. Everybody that was in attendance just took over. That moment really stood out to me, as I would think, and I think is one of the great moments in Boston sports. Now, especially this decade, considering what had taken place, what had happened, and I personally believe now, when I look back on it, and especially now as a resident of the great city of Boston, that moment helped United City. But there was one moment that overtook what happened at the Garden, that took place at Fenway. I'm going to get to that a little later on in the hour. But, however, there's another one that took place in this decade that really, as a Pats fan, that should bring back a certain amount of memories. You know, shouldn't be that difficult to figure out, but I'm going to play a little bit of a tease. I mean, because why not? Now, Pats fans, you remember how special Super Bowl 49 was? You remember that? That whole game, you know, the Pats were down, you know, they're down 10 points, came back to take the lead late in the game, all that fun stuff. Now, the Pats in Super Bowl 49, they're up by four. The Seahawks, they're driving down the field. Remember that near miracle catch, that miracle catch that Javon Curse made that kept the Seahawks drive alive offensively, and now we're thinking, is this another another David Tyree-esque moment that's about to unfold? Now, I'll remind you, Seahawks, they're at the 1 yard line of the Patriots. And what happened next, to this day, I gotta tell you,
okay, you got
still absolutely defies all belief. And this one is courtesy of Malcolm Butler, Al Michaels of NBC. Take it away.
Play clock at five. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play that wound up in Percy's arms. There are flags on the field for a celebration. Amazing. Butler, a rookie free agent out of West Alabama.
They try to pick play, Al. They tried to go here, but he beats them to the punch. And I'm sorry, but I can't believe the call.
Me neither.
I cannot believe the call. You've got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. You've got a guy that's been borderline unstoppable in this part of the field. I can't believe the call.
And there is Brady. As demonstrative as ever, and Richard Sherman.
You know, when you look back on that particular moment, that Malcolm Butler interception that sealed the Super Bowl for the Patriots, Super Bowl 49. Now, allow me to kind of retract your memory a little bit. And I don't think Patriot fans need to be reminded of this one in particular, but this does worth saying. The Patriots at that point had gone 10 years between Super Bowl titles. Between Super Bowl 39 and now Super Bowl 49. They hadn't won a Super Bowl. They've been to two Super Bowls in between, losing twice to the New York Giants. And of course, I don't need to remind Patriot fans about that painful upset in Super Bowl 42. No point of revisiting. But that had been an awfully, awfully, awfully meaningful moment. As a moment of redemption, dare I say. It'd been 10 years. Come on. You and I, let's revisit that night just quickly. You're at home watching the game, and you're thinking, my God, they're about to win this game. 27 seconds remaining. The Seahawks, all they got to do is hand the ball over to Marshawn Lynch. Touchdown, game over. Possibly. But man, that play call single-handedly changed the course of NFL history. No. No, Pats haters. No. Can't blame anybody but Pete Carroll on that one. Can't blame anybody else. You had Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line. All you had to do, hand it off to him. But he didn't. But Russell Wilson wanted to play hero, so now here we are. Three Super Bowls out of the last 5 years. Yeah. Gotta eat it, you know? But that's just another great moment in Boston sports the last 10 years, you know. But another one that does come to mind is this. I will say that there's been so many of them. So many of them. You know, I will say that when you consider everything and everything that went on afterwards, when you talk about what that moment meant to Pat fans, bringing the Vince Lombardi trophy back to New England after 10 years, because remember, they hadn't won since the whole Spygate controversy took the NFL by storm in 2007. So it had been a while. A long while. So that was 2014. Now, we have a lot more that we're going to get to. But there is one in particular that I want to get to now that I couldn't help but just think to myself and say, you know, that was absolutely unreal. Absolutely unbelievable. You know, there was the 2011 Stanley Cup championship run for the Bruins that comes to mind as well. And I'm going to get to that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get to that now. Because when you look back at this decade in Boston sports, you cannot help but think to yourself, wow, oh my God, the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup this decade. Yeah. And although they went through two god-awful heartbreaks, losing the Stanley Cup Finals twice this decade, after winning it, both on home ice, losing it on home ice, but the one they won, the one they won in 2011 will forever live in the annals of Boston sports lore, especially this decade when we look back on just how absolutely incredible that run was. You gotta wonder, if it wasn't for Nathan Horton and his heroics in that Stanley Cup final run, I'm telling you, where would they be? Where would they be? It would be amazing if we were to sit here and not be remiss of the fact that this team, just talk when you talk about the seminal moments that they went on in that moment. Oh, what do you mean? First seminal moment, and any Bruin fan can attest to this, when you beat the Montreal Canadiens en route to winning the cup, that makes it all the more special. Do I have to remind you guys? Do I really have to remind you guys what happened in that game 7? You know what? The heck with it. I'm going to let Jack Edwards actually do the reminding for me. So, Jack Edwards of Nesson. This is April 27th, 2011. Enjoy.
Bergeron with a great opportunity on a stop move, taking the feed from Recchi.
Boychuk threw it in front of it off a skate. Here's Marshawn off the bottom of the circle. Boychuk's blast scores! A Johnny Rocket! It's 1-0 Boston! Marshawn back of the goal looking for Recchi. Gill around the boards. Amileri can't clear. Recchi out at the blue line. Has a little space. Draws Gomez. It's off Ferentz. Wiggles to the low circle. Ferentz one hands to Recchi. The shot scores! Mark Recchi. 2-0 Boston. Now Hamerlich. Paille playing without a stick. It's a de facto 4-on-3 if Montreal, a 5-on-3 rather, if Montreal can recognize it. Camilleri cross ice. The shot scores! Yannick Weber! Puts it up in the roof of the goal. It's 2-1.
Can't continue to happen.
Halfway through the penalty call against Eller.
Recchi gives it away. Plekanec has a shorthanded breakaway against Thomas. He scores!
Just out of Mullen's reach. Kelly bangs into Hamerlich, who goes down on his face trying to draw a call. Beverly to Ferris. The shot bounces. The rebound scores! Chris Kelly! Wisniewski up to the attacking line. Camilleri across the line. Kelly takes the tap pass. It's Plekanec for Subban. He scores! P.K. Subban on a rocket over the glove side of Tim Thomas. Wade the defenseman all the way up forward. Tries to trickle it middle. Subban can't whack it past McQuaid. Lucic, top of the circle. Horton, the drive. Scores!
Nathan Horton with the game-winning, series-winning goal to beat the Montreal Canadiens in round one of the 2011 Stanley Cup run. And we all know they got their revenge against the Philadelphia Flyers, who they blew a 3-0 lead the year before. And they ended up beating the Tampa Bay Lightning in a unforgettable Game 7 at the Garden, 1-0. Again, on a Nathan Horton goal late, about halfway through the third period. And I tell you, that series, that Stanley Cup run, was just truly, truly unforgettable in every way. Truly unforgettable. But I'm still kind of living in the past a little bit, feeling a bit nostalgic. I'm not sorry, but this moment, these last 30-something seconds will never get old. So, for all time's sake, I'm going to let Mike Emmerich, Eddie Olczyk, Pierre Maguire take it over for this last few seconds of what turned out to be the final shift of Mark Recchi's career in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Just take it away.
A leather lung fan, and they have a few in Boston, yelled, "We didn't lose to the British, and we're not going to lose to British Columbia." Hansen gave it across with 15 to go. Despite that adversity, they followed their coach to the high road, and the high road is the road to the cup. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. And they pour on to celebrate with Tim Thomas, their heroic goaltender. The statistics that are poured forth over the span of 15 days of a Stanley Cup final favored Vancouver. Just the raw percentages. They took game one, then games one and two, and the numbers got higher. A 2-1 series lead, 84% of the time the team ahead wins. A game five after a split of the first four at 71%. 3-2 series lead as they had 80%. But it is played by humans with all kinds of emotion and not by stats.
And there's Nathan Horton in the hat already, the Stanley Cup championship hat, hugging me.
Yeah, I had to, you know, relive that moment again as a Bruins fan. But that one was another tremendous moment in Boston sports that took place this decade. We're going to quickly step aside for just a moment, but when we return, we're going to go through everything else that took place this decade and talk about it and so forth, the championships, the controversies during the last half hour of this show. That's all coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts, Free Farm Radio.
Started in January of 1970. 40 years later, we still play your freeform music. WMFO's annual drive is in effect. We need your support to keep WMFO running so we can keep giving you your favorite music and bringing you the shows you love, such as The Lounge, On the Town with Mikey D, Bubbles in the Think Tank, and many more. Donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check made payable to trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you from all of us at your freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
I'm telling you all how I feel. Gonna catch your mind. Don't you dare jump on, jump on, get on me. Alright, I'm giving you all how I feel. Just show your stuff or let it be. I'm telling you. So watch your mouth. I know your game, what you're about. When they say the sky's the limit.
about you, but I love Michael Jackson after all these years. So if you haven't been paying attention tonight, I've been playing Michael Jackson the last couple of songs. But I'm telling you, the man may have been gone for 10 years now, but understand this as a fact. This man's legend still lives on, no matter what others may say. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. Still continuing with the look back on the decade in Boston sports. We talked about 2013, the moment, April 17, 2013. Renee Rancourt singing the national anthem, first Boston pro sports event. Following the terror attacks at the Boston Marathon bombing on April 15th, we just talked about the Bruins, 2011 Stanley Cup run, as well as we touched on the Malcolm Butler interception in Super Bowl 49. And now we're going to look ahead. Well, not look ahead, but technically look back on, but look back on arguably the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Not arguably, it is the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. No way, there's no debate about it. And I gotta admit to you, even then, like, I couldn't believe just everything that it took place in that game and the way it all unfolded with the Falcons. You know, they're up 28-3. And then the comeback. The comeback of all comebacks. I mean, honestly, how do you explain? How do you honestly explain? And even years later, when we tell our kids and our grandkids, what's the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history? You got to look back to Super Bowl 51. Like, you have to understand the depths of despair that Pats fans lived through. And now, I was here in Boston that night. I watched the game at Whiskey's. For those that live here in Boston, in the Boston metro area, you know Whiskey's, this place that's over in Back Bay. So I was there the night of Super Bowl 51. Watched the game as it all unfolded. Halftime, I was just completely beside myself as in, wow, this embarrassment is really happening? Is it really, really happening? And then second half starts. Oh, by the way, no big deal. We'll just allow the Falcons to go ahead and score. And I don't mean allow in a literal sense. But they gave up a touchdown to get things started in the second half. And now it's 28-3. And I tell you, at that point, I thought game was done. I'm telling you, it was truly incredible. The more I look back on it, I'm telling you, we know what happened in the fourth quarter. What changed it? The Dante Hightower strip sack, forcing the fumble, and so forth. But you know what? I think one of the great things about YouTube these days is that you can go back and watch it over and over and over again as much as you want. And I tell you, when you look back on what was an absolutely crazy game, but you got to go back and look at the tying drive that tied the game up. Because I think that in itself is still absolutely unbelievable. It's unbelievable just to even, like, just, wow. I personally am still in a state of shock. So, this was the tying drive that tied the game. I'm going to let Joe Buck take it away for the next few moments, as long as time permits. There he goes. Enjoy.
Third and 10, blitz off the corner. Pass is caught by Hogan. Can't get out of bounds. Strong tackle by Collins. But a big first down. Gain of 16.
They're flying all around. Tom Brady, and he's hanging in the pocket and delivers a strike to Chris Hogan to convert.
A good block there by James White, the running back, to give Brady just enough time.
Run up for a big play.
Here's Edelman, broken up, and the pass is no sign yet. Edelman comes down with a football, and they're saying it's a catch. And we'll get another look at this. Alford knocked it up into the air, and let's see who comes down with it. Oh, that's a catch.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
That's amazing concentration by Julian Edelman to be able to make a play on that.
Is challenging the ruling on the field of a completed pass. We'll review the play.
The ball was resting on the arm of Ricardo Allen, and Edelman able to re-grab it before he hits the ground. I checked with Mike Pereira in our booth. He thinks it's a catch, and the play's being challenged by Atlanta.
And it should have been an interception by Robert Alford. I mean, he makes a play on this. He's been working James White when they spread him out. The last couple times they have.
Me too. Alabama.
V19.
Handoff. Touchdown, James White. Time left. Even if it is time for Atlanta. That's Amendola. Flag is down. Amendola's in. But it depends on the penalty. And the indication is it's against Atlanta.
Offside, number 93 defense. That penalty is declined. Touchdown.
This is a tie game.
That drive, without question, was by far the craziest drive that I could remember. As you heard, the Edelman catch, which is right up there with the David Tyree catch, is two of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history, coupled with the James White running touchdown and the two-point conversion Brady to Amendola, what more can you possibly ask for? That game was just so dramatic, and then we all remember how it all ended with the winning touchdown by James White. And for all time's sakes, let's relive that moment, shall we? Take it away, Joe Buck. But in the meanwhile, considering all things, it was only a matter of time.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Yeah.
wasn't sure. James White driving. They've already shot off the confetti. Fans are on the field. And it looks like a good touchdown.
Yeah, it does to me too, Joe. When the knee goes down, where's the ball? I don't know what they'd do if they had to overturn this, but it looked to me like the ball was across. And what an effort by James White, who's had himself a heck of a ball game. There was contact by Ricardo Allen, and yet he's out able to get across the goal line.
I mean, that touchdown, that whole game, and I'll tell you right now, we're never going to see a game like that, at least for the rest of our lifetime. I don't see how. With all the drama, especially considering that Brady was suspended the first four games of the 2016 NFL season for his alleged role in Deflategate, it was just absolutely remarkable. It was remarkable to see how that game all unfolded, all the while watching how this team absolutely evolved. Amazing. Just real quick, a minute 16 remaining in the first half. The Patriots, they are leading 10-3 right now with 108 and counting remaining in the first half. New England's got the ball. So I'm absolutely intrigued to see what the next decade has in store. Now, let's talk about 2018. And the very last thing I'm going to give you a heads up. I usually would, you know, do the little tease and all that fun stuff, but I am going to go back to 2013 to wrap up the show. I am. You have my word. Wait for it. 2018 was just absolutely insane. You had the Red Sox and the Patriots winning championships in the same year. The Red Sox, the greatest Red Sox team of all time, they won 108 games in the regular season, won 11 more in the postseason, altogether winning 119 games. And they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers in a five-game World Series that just put the perfect exclamation mark on truly how dominant that Red Sox team was in 2018, as well as the New England Patriots from last year. When we sit here, we talk about how this team, they struggled through parts of the regular season, searching for their identity, kind of similar to what they are now, but the difference is that they had the run game last year and finally put it all together in time to go on a run to win the Super Bowl. Amazing. You got to absolutely admit that if you're a Boston sports fan this decade, you're spoiled. You're awfully spoiled. The headlines, you know, we sit here and we look back. You had Deflategate, which was a two-year head-scratching joke of a witch hunt by the NFL against the Patriots organization, while at the same time, you also united a fan base that didn't need any other reason to come together, but this was it, the rallying cry, so to speak. And all in all, that's basically what 2016 was all about. You suspend Brady for reasons that the NFL never really gave any type of indication as to the purpose and the reason to go on this witchcraft of a witch hunt against New England. But I digress. Needless to say, the Red Sox and the Patriots winning the Super Bowl in 2018, and the Bruins coming awfully close to bringing a championship, a third championship to Boston within a 9-month stretch would have been absolutely amazing. It would have been amazing, but it came up a bit short. And that sucks. It's a shame. But it goes to show you that with all the championship runs and near misses of what could have been, it's amazing that the teams here in Boston could have won more. They should have won more. But you got to be quite happy if you're a Boston sports fan in this decade and how it all turned out. Because there's no guarantee what the 2020s will bring. There's no guarantees. But I do know this. Don't be surprised if this dominance continues for another decade. Even long after Brady decides to either leave or retire. Because that day is going to come. It is. So, we mentioned that we were going to get to 2013. And here we are. We can't talk about the decade without talking about David Ortiz. David Ortiz is one person who you can say absolutely united the city in ways that no other athlete in Boston has done. Not even Ted Williams, not even Larry Bird, not even Tom Brady. But David Ortiz himself did it. Like, you gotta believe. You gotta believe that David Ortiz, his role in 2013, absolutely was huge. In the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing. And his role in the Red Sox run to the World Series that year will never be forgotten in the hearts of the people in Boston. Heck, even in the hearts of millions of fans across the country. This is the clean version of what David Ortiz said at Fenway on April 20th, 2013, 5 days after the marathon bombing. This is David Ortiz on the field at Fenway in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing.
All right, Boston. This jersey that we wear today, it doesn't say Red Sox. It say Boston. We want to thank you, Mayor Menino, Governor Patrick, the whole police department, for the great job that they did this past week. This is our city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
That was David Ortiz on the field. Does that speech still, in more ways than one, sends chills for the simple fact that, one, he spoke from the heart. You spoke about that no matter what, this was going to be a time that we were going to unite as a people in this city. And did he ever? Now, as for what he did that season, but especially in that October, unforgettable. That really put him over the top. And I'm telling you, it's amazing when you look back at what he did that October. It was truly amazing when you reflect back on what it meant to Boston in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing and helping the Red Sox win the World Series that season. That part was the amazing part. And I tell you, and even when you look back on, the indelible moments, you can't help but to think, just amazing how much of an impact he had on the city, on the people, all of Red Sox Nation. And the speech that he gave after winning the 2013 World Series MVP was truly one to remember. And oftentimes I feel like it gets overlooked, but I think it's important that we look back on it, because he talks about that very point, that this city has gone through a lot. And then winning the World Series helped Boston heal after everything it had went through that spring with the marathon bombing. This is Big Papi addressing the crowd after winning the World Series MVP in 2013.
You have a really good time addressing this city of Boston. I'm going to give you this mic for one last time. Here you go, Papi.
Should I keep it clean? This is our bleep city. I want to thank God for giving the opportunity to stay healthy this year and to have such a fun year. We had a great time this town. We struggled early this year with the situation that all of us went through, but thanks to him, we keep ourselves together, and here we are, enjoy the time. Second of all, I want to thank my family for the support and everything that we did.